you go through your wardrobe and you have a wardrobe clear out, don't you, to make space for like new things. So then you're kind of like, you're just trying it on. You're trying on the new dress. You're just kind of like, does this fit right? Oh, no, not really sure. Okay, you're nice, but someone else can love you like more than I can. And like, that's how we need to look at it.
Hello and welcome back to Pear Shapes,
a podcast aimed to encourage and inspire millennial women to be their most authentic self
and discover what's possible when you embrace when things go pear-shaped. Happy new week.
Happy new week to you too. It's exciting again.
I know. Things easing. Have you been out yet?
I have. Yeah, I've been out a couple of times actually. It's just nice to go back to normal a bit, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, it was super nice to have my hair done. It was super nice to book a nail appointment, and sounds superficial, but I feel so much better. I feel so good. I'm feeling myself again.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And just like leaving your house, like just to do something normal and actually just like have a plan in the diary. Yeah, like, it's just nice. So
thought I'd be mind you, I haven't been anywhere that's been too busy, but I thought I'd be really anxious about how busy places are. But when I was out, it was just really nice hearing like
a busy restaurant
of it, or like a busy restaurant and just like, you know, people talking and people you know, meeting other people. Oh, it just felt so nice. It made me really happy. And I think because we're going into summer and the days are getting longer and brighter, oh, it was such a good feeling.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the first time it lifted, I was really anxious because I didn't know what to expect. Whereas because it's lifted before, it's kind of like this time around, I know we've like discussed FOMO and stuff like that, but this time around it was kind of like, I know what to expect. It's going to be okay. And also the fact that people are outside, I think that actually helps because it's kind of like, you know that you're fairly safe because you're not in a restaurant yet. You're outside. So,
Yeah, and everyone seems a lot more, I mean, for businesses anyway, everyone seems a lot more prepared.
Yeah.
Like the outside spaces are just
amazing. Like,
amazing. Yeah. You can't get a booking for love no money. Like,
no.
It's so booked up and busy.
Like when we tried to meet.
I would have had, that was so stressful.
It all, Yeah, so stressful.
So
and it was
stressful.
Like, you can come in at 11 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night. So, okay, great.
You can have, you can have your dinner at 3 p.m. Yeah. And you have to leave by 4:30.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm like, I'll take it.
I agree. I totally agree. But yeah. So speaking of lockdown lifting, we better get started on what we're discussing this week.
This week's episode, we are delving into friendships and how they've changed in lockdown. I don't know about you, but I guess from 2020 last year, from summer, my relationships with my friends, with close friends, they changed in a really big way. I wasn't expecting it, and it was really sad. It still is really sad. Where you kind of you've grown apart basically. And I think for a lot of people, even though not a lot of people talk about it, but I guess 2020 really was the year that we just had a lot more time to, you know, rethink. To think and rethink our work, our careers, our relationships, our friendships. And, you know, for me personally, 2020 was a really, really hard year on my mental health and a really tough year to get through. And it's at that point I started kind of realizing, you know, the people that were there and the people that weren't there, or the people that I hadn't spoken to. And it was just overall really sad. Mm. We just to that realization that I'd grown apart from people who were who I used to be really close with. Yeah, that was really hard to go through.
Yeah, no, I relate to this a lot. But I'll start with like the lockdown stuff, because I think for me, first lockdown, so much effort was put in to speaking to people.
Yeah.
Zoom calls, quizzes,
the quiz. Throwback.
Yeah. But like, I felt like, to be honest, I was really, we both had birthdays in lockdown. And I've never had the outpouring of love from my friends and family the way I did when it was in lockdown. Like, I've never received as many cards, as many flowers, as many things like that. So that was kind of a thing where I was like, oh my God, like, this is insane. Like, people do really care. And now that it's come, we're like well over a year, it feels like it's not the same anymore, because people are kind of fed up themselves.
Yeah.
It's not a novelty anymore. It's kind of, I don't know, I just feel like the friendships have dwindled because there's not much to say.
It's that not having anything to say because we're not doing anything.
No.
It's like a mixture of things that, like, you start to question everything. Like, have you grown apart, or have you just not seen them in so long that you feel that way? It's really hard to like distinguish like what the feelings are there, because it's been so long. And I agree, like at the start of lockdown, it was like all the, you know, the group chats were lively, and you know, we were all just trying to make it through because it was, you know, it was brand new. But then, you know, everyone's mental health just started to really dwindle at that point, because everyone was, you know, we were just sick and tired of it. And for me, June happened, and a lot of things with BLM and kind of sharing my story and a lot of those kind of like traumas and emotions and bringing that all up and kind of sharing it with the world was such a strange, like, therapeutic time, but also still really strange to do, I think, because I've never shared that side of my story. I've never shared that part of me with anybody.
And it's still very raw. Like, it's still very raw.
It's still raw. Like, it's still happening now. It's still happening in the news. And, you know, I'm kind of at the point where it's really hard to, you know, sometimes I just can't even engage with it because it's still really raw. It's still there. And I think, you know, with my friendships, like, I can remember feeling really sad and, like, lonely at the time, thinking, you know, I thought I would have heard from this person. You know, I thought they would have been there for me more, or, you know, all of those kind of things that I was left in lockdown just overthinking.
Along with all the feelings, other stuff.
With all the other stuff of work and everything, and, you know, being made redundant that year, and then trying to get, you know, being self-employed and getting my business off the ground, and all, you know, all those kind of things, and feeling lonely. Really such a weird feeling. Like, no one guides you through like friendship breakups or like when you've grown apart from a friend, do they? Like,
never, you know,
it's not. And even like doing this episode now still makes me feel a bit uncomfortable, because it's like, you don't want to come across like you're, you know, bitching about that person, or like that, you know, it doesn't always have to end on a really sour note when you've grown apart from someone, does it?
No.
You just kind of, but you still also need to get it off your chest, because it does feel a bit like heartbreak, or like you've broken up with someone, or like you're grieving that person, or really strange.
No, I totally relate to this. So prior to lockdown, so 2 years ago now, I like broke up with my friends, and it was very strange, and it was kind of hard because I knew it was the right decision. I knew I had to do it for like my own self-worth, to be honest. But it didn't really feel very fair because they were still a group, and I was out on my own and I was a bit like, oh, well, like now I feel even lonelier than I did when I was part of a group that wasn't particularly right for me. Like, and I didn't, we were just going down different paths and that is it. Like, we were just growing apart. But now, like 2 years on, I'm really glad I made that decision because I'm still respectful of them. That is, that's them. That's what they want to do. That's who they are as people. Yeah. But they also, I hope, respect that this is what I do and this is who I am. And something that I did actually have last year, kind of from like an old, like my oldest friend, like we've massively grown apart. We're just not the same people anymore. But she did send me a birthday card and it was kind
that's
of like,
really sweet.
It was nice to receive that.
Yeah.
Through the post, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my god, that's her handwriting. Like, I knew that that was her, and I was just like, that's all it needs to be. It doesn't need to be horrible. It doesn't need to be nasty. There were mistakes made. I think I'd like to think that they can hold their hands up to that, and I could say also that I probably didn't handle it completely right, but that's what hindsight does. And that's what we need to do now. Like, we just need to be civil. But the heartbreak that comes from it is insane. And it's kind of like you see them together and you're thinking, oh my God, that used to be me. Or
should we have literally had the same situation. We literally have had the same situation where, it's one of those things where, I don't know, you have those friendship breakups where, like, you either need... really need the closure or you don't for and you know, in my case, it just, when you grow apart, it just a bit, it's a bit of a like it is what it is situation, instead of, you know, there was no like massive falling out, there was no, you know, really sour words exchanged or anything like that. It was just kind of the realization that, you know, I wasn't getting the support or kind of friendship that I wanted.
That's from, like, me,
you know, the group, and you know, I don't think I was being myself in the group, and I, you know, a lot of the time kind of felt like the odd one out, or you know, that we didn't have a lot of things in common, and just feeling like the outsider and just kind of feeling you know, and not wanting to feel that way.
I relate to that,
and just wanting more, I think, like, on a, you know, on a deeper level. I think 2020 was a really, like, was a year of really just like unlocking like a lot and learning about myself, and, you know, I was really trying to build my confidence and self-esteem, and then, you know, I really had to do that kind of shadow work and look into the things that were kind of affecting my self-esteem and my confidence and why I felt that way. And you do kind of have to look at the friendships and who you're around and, you know, how things have made you feel. And yeah, I just kind of came to the realization that, like, okay, I'm not feeling that way about, you know, this group at the moment. And that's really sad. But also, I deserve, you know, the things that I want out of a friendship. I deserve, you know, that support. I deserve to feel loved and supported, and, you know, vice versa for them. And it was just one of those things where it's like, we haven't really needed closure, I guess, because it's just when you grow apart, like, it is what it is. But also, you know, I've been going through a lot, you know, bad news, you know, with my nan at the moment. And, you know, I did end up hearing from one of my friends, from one of the girls from the group. And, you know, it was really nice because it just made me, you know, realize, okay, you know, we're not really cool at the moment, but it was really nice to hear from you at a time when, you know, I'm kind of going through it and I'm feeling, you know, not that great. It just kind of came back to, like, okay, well, no matter what, we don't have to be the best of friends. No. We don't have to see each other all the time. We don't have to talk all the time. But, you know, when I'm going through it, like, it's nice to hear from you and nice to know that, you know, that you still care. So, I think, it was,
yeah,
It's nice.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think in a way lockdowns helped with that, because it's kind of made people, like you said, it's made people reassess, rethink.
Yeah.
But I think it's also helped without, because you can't see that person, it's kind of helped the breakup. It's helped the heartbreak.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen them going out on Saturday, then going out the following week, and you're sat at home. You haven't had that sort of feeling. And also, so I'm still friends with some of their friends. Like, we still have, like, a crossover.
Yeah.
I guess with lockdown lifting, I'm very aware that there is going to come a point where I'm going to have to see them again. And we're going to be in a room together. And it's kind of a bit like, ooh, because...
Yeah.
We're so different now. And like you said, I was the odd one out. We didn't have much in common. And we were like pushed together at school. So in that environment, we got on because we were at school, and that's how you meet each other and that's how you make your first set of friends. And I think we need to normalize friendship breakups.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know that this should even happen.
And just growing apart.
Yeah.
Just normalizing growing apart and normalizing that, like, it's okay. I think obviously it's really hard when it's friendship groups that you've known for such a long time, because there's that history there, isn't it? Of like, you don't entirely want to give that up, because it's been so long and they're a part of, it's kind of like one of those things like, can I let these friends go anywhere because they know too much about me? But also, like,
no, I know they,
like, do you know what I mean? Like, they know too much. Like, we're in this for life. But also, like, you know, it's just the fact that you can't deny that we, you know, have grown apart, and then throw the pandemic in there and not being able to see each other. It's, you know, made us even further apart. But I think just normalizing that it's okay to grow apart, like, you don't have to cling on to these friendships for dear life that don't make you feel like your best self, or where you're not being your true self.
Yeah.
Not holding on to them, because I'm kind of having to learn that I need to make space for new friendships and meeting new people. And, you know, you have different friends for different things, and finding those people in my life that can support what I'm going through at the moment, and you know, beyond that, and, you know, those friendships I want where, you know, I can talk to someone about my feelings and I feel safe in that space and feel comfortable to, you know, really bear how I'm feeling and feel safe in doing so, but also, you know, have fun, and, you know, just those things that, like, you know, ticking off of what you want from a friend. And I'm learning that I need to make space for those kind of friendships.
Yeah.
I can't keep clinging on to people just because there's a history there.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And my mum always says, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And they're the people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And sometimes, like, there's one friend in particular I'm talking about here that I really did think that was going to be in my life for a lifetime. And that makes me really sad that that didn't work out. But it didn't work out. It hasn't worked out. I'm there for her if she needs me, and I'd like to think that she's the same. But I think, like, in times of real trauma, do you know what I mean? But I think that's always a good motto to, like, kind of realise that actually, that friendship group didn't work out, and I feel a bit sad about it, or I did feel sad about it, but the reason why they're in my life was because we met in school, and, like, I shared really good memories with them, but then that's it, and now that bit's gone. But then, like you said, I've made space to meet people like you, and then meet people online, and all these online friendships, which seem surreal because it's like, I met you online. But I feel like I know people from online better than some of the people I've met in real life. So it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. The friendships that I've made, from last year, because I turned to people that I didn't even think I would be that comfortable with, but just kind of, you know, meeting you and meeting other people online that I felt comfortable to share what I was going through. And yeah, I'm so grateful for that. And it's just making that space, isn't it? And it still is sad. Like, no one really tells you how to like deal with that kind of sadness when you're breaking up with a friendship, because like you said before, like, I'm still friends with someone out of the group, and I was very aware that when everything lifts, it's been kind of out of sight, out of mind at the moment, but yeah. I was very like aware that when things start to lift, things would start going back to normal, and I would see them go back in a group, and then knowing that I wasn't going to be there at that point. It's at that point when I really started to romanticize things, like when you're breaking up with someone and you start thinking of all the good times, and I can't believe I'm not going to be in that group anymore. And then I was like, fuck, what have I done?
Yeah.
You know, like, go back. Like, but then I was just like, no, Karina, like, there is a reason why you have felt the way that you have felt, and it's valid.
Yeah.
It's valid. And, you know, who knows? You know, I'm not completely, you know, writing anybody off. Who knows, like, as you say, it's seasons, isn't it? Like, you know, years down the line, or however long down the line, that, you know, we meet up and, you know, get in touch about something else. Like, you just don't know.
Like, you might have kids at the same time. Yeah, then you can meet and and that's like the next level of friendship.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, you end up living two roads apart, so actually you see each other for a coffee morning or something like that. Like, you don't know where all of this is heading, and it's just kind of know. I think that's something I've learned over the last year, is just like chill, like it's fine, it's all gonna just work out,
like what will be will be. And I think especially after the pandemic, we have no choice to just let things happen. Like, we can't plan anything anymore. And I think I'm just trying not to be a scaredy cat and to put myself out there more and like make new friends, which, you know, is another part of like making new friends as an adult.
Which makes my palms sweat.
Like, I can feel my pit sweating like already. Of like, how do you do that? I'm turning, you know, I'm 33. How do I make friends?
Yeah.
That just seems like really weird to say, but it's true. How do you? And I think it's that I've really had to be like, okay, Karina, you actually need to, you know, be a friend. You need to put yourself out there. You need to invite people places, or you need to organize something, or just like, it's like shooting your shot, isn't it? Like,
As it's if like you're dating on
Tinder or Bumble, you need to shoot your shot. And it's one of those things, like when you like their vibe, a bit like how it was with us, when you like their vibe, you just slide in the DMs.
Yeah.
You slide in the DMs, or, you know, you give them a message and you just kind of get chatting, I guess. You just have to do it. There's no kind of math equation.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, you've just got to go for it. And I think also, I don't know if you felt this, but like, trial it. And then if it doesn't really work out, it doesn't matter. Like, I think because I've reached out, I expect to be this like amazing friendship. And it doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, okay.
It's like dating, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't like, I've been like a bit like that as well. Like, you meet someone that's like, you're my new best friend now. It's like, whoa, Karina, don't be too intense. Like, don't come on too strong. Like, just take it easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a bit like dating.
Yeah, no, it is. And like, you might even go out a couple of times with each other, and then it's kind of like, oh, actually, no, we're not really vibing. And I guess I thought of a good analogy, actually. It's like, you go through your wardrobe and you have a wardrobe clear out, don't you, to make space for like new things. So then you're kind of like, you're just trying it on. You're trying on the new dress. You're just kind of like, does this fit right? Oh, no, not really sure. Okay, you're nice, but someone else can love you like more than I can. And like, that's how we need to look at it. So
I love that. Yeah. I actually love that. No, literally. Yeah. And I'm just, I think I'm feeling a lot more optimistic about things now. I think before, I think you just kind of really have to go through it when you're going through that kind of transition breakup with friends. Yeah. I think I wish I'd kind of had this kind of conversation a lot earlier, because it can feel really lonely, can't it? Like, you really feel like, lonely. Why, like, is anyone else going through this? Why do I feel so lonely? Why do I feel like I have no friends? And it's, you know, it's not true. And it's not something that you can really overthink. It just, it happens, and you're not alone. Yeah. And there you will meet, you know, wonderful new people out there who, you know, you'll vibe with more, and who knows, you may, like we said, get back in touch with those friends. You might not, you know, sorry to sound very Love Island, but it is what it is.
It's true. And I think, I don't know if you felt this, but like, for me, kind of going from a group vibe to like them being out on your own, like now all my friends are pretty much like one friend there, one friend there, one friend there, one friend there, one friend there. Yeah. And that's fine. But I think that was something that I really struggled with to start off with, was like this sort of like group. Like, I felt like I should be in a group.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's really hard for me to even watch things like, oh, what have I been watching? The Bold Type. And it's I love it, but it's also quite hard to watch at the moment because they're like a friendship group of three.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, I'm a bit like, oh, I miss being like in a group, but I'm like, do I miss being in a group though? Like, I don't know. No, it's just,
I agree. I didn't really enjoy being in a group, to be completely honest, because there's always people that you're closer with than when you're not. And then there's always like some, like I said, I think in the last episode, like I've always played the role of the organizer, and like, it used to drive me insane being in a group and having to organize, like, be a PA for more than myself, you know?
And then you get all the backseat drivers, don't you, when you're planning something. It's always the people, like, who don't want to plan something, but they've always got something to say about how you're making those plans. So annoying. Like, that's just the most irritating thing. Like, can you shut up? Or if you want to plan this, go right ahead.
Yeah, please organise it then. Please. Like, go for it. Yeah. No, I felt... And like, so annoying. That was something that I was just like, actually, I don't need to have this stress and this drama and this... Like, I've lived quite a nice, comfortable life since not being in a group, because it's not stressful. Because there's not, like, pinging messages all the time. Yeah. And there's not that sort of competition where it's like, oh, I think we should go here. No, I think we should go here. Oh, have you seen this place? It's like, no, like, I can just organize it with one other person. It's super easy. And that suits me down to the ground.
And so, I think, that was a realization for me, like, not wanting to be in any kind of group or in any kind of friendship where it feels competitive.
Yes. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, it's not healthy. It's not right. And oh gosh, no. Like, I think of just so many friendships where there's had that element of like competition, and
it's very toxic. It's very, it's very toxic. It's so toxic. I had that with the friend that I'm talking about, because we grew up, I literally knew her since I was four. And because you're like the same age and you think that there's a, like, this path mapped out for everyone and we should be doing it at this time and like those milestones that we spoke about, it's kind of like then you're comparing to each other and then there's like this sort of like competition of who's gonna do this first or who's gonna get the promotion first or who's gonna get this job first, blah blah blah, and actually life doesn't work like that. And I think going down separate paths has meant that I can now see that, and yeah. I hope she can too. Like,
yeah,
we are on completely different wavelengths now. Mm-hmm. But it was horrible. It was, and I didn't enjoy it at all. Yeah. But I felt like I had to because I felt like she was, and she probably yeah. felt the same. And it was kind of like this constant, like, oh well, I've got a promotion. Oh well, I got this. Yeah. And like,
when
that
becomes
stressful.
The only thing, I guess, that you talk about. Like for me, like it just felt like the discussions and the chats were just really surface level
yeah,
for me. Like
agreed.
They were just, I didn't feel, and this is on me, I don't think this is on them, but I didn't feel comfortable enough, or I'm not sure why I felt that I couldn't really say how I was really feeling. And, you know, that is something to do with me, but also if I don't feel comfortable kind of,
yeah,
being able to talk, you know, to someone about my mental health or, you know, what I'm going through, I can't force it.
No.
You know, if I'm not comfortable, I'm not comfortable. If it doesn't feel like a safe space, it just doesn't. Like,
no.
I'm not going to force that. And I think...
I felt the same. I did
yeah,
feel the same.
And I think that for me was, you know, when, you know, I was really trying to build my confidence and my self-worth and thinking, no, but I deserve that and I want that. I want to have those friendships where I feel comfortable to tell someone, you know, how I'm feeling, and, you know, have that support back and have somebody listen and not have that judgment or feel shame, you know, or any of that. And just knowing that, you know, I deserve that and this sucks, but I'm putting myself first. And this is what I want out of my friendships, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I relate to that.
There's nothing wrong with wanting more.
No, I agree.
There's nothing wrong with wanting more. It doesn't make you a bitch, and it doesn't make you rude. It just, you know, you know that you want more.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I relate to that a lot because I didn't open up very much. And I think I then kind of resented them because when other people did open up and there was like this sort of, isn't that so sad for this person? Oh, we need to sit and listen to this person. Oh, we need to go around here because of the breakup and we need to bring ice cream and stuff. I was like, where was the sympathy for me when I went through that breakup? Or where were you when I was made redundant?
Where was that energy?
Where were you when all of these things were happening for me? Yet someone like breaks a toenail and it's like, oh God, we've got to go and make sure that she's okay. And that's how I felt. I was just like, what the hell? But then on reflection, if I'm not sharing, how do they know? Like, how can they? They're not mind readers.
Oh, yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah.
That's definitely what happened to me.
Yeah, literally the same. But at the same time, I think for me, I think when I shared, you know, how I was feeling in June and around BLM, and I was very, at that point, I'd say like June, July, like I was angry at them. I was really, like, there was so much anger there because it was literally like you were saying, like, where were you?
Yeah.
Where were you? Like, I didn't hear anything. You didn't say anything. You didn't, not even at, are you okay? Hey, thinking of you, like, nothing. And I just remember being so angry. And, like, obviously I was, at that time, I was still thinking about all the things that, you know, were kind of hurtful or times where, you know, I haven't felt supported. And then it just, like, doubled, tripled after June because I was just, like, that was just, like, the last straw for me. I was just, like, no. Like, I'm sick of feeling this way.
Yeah.
I shouldn't feel like this way in a friendship anymore. I shouldn't feel like shit. I shouldn't feel like no one cares about me. I shouldn't feel unsupported. I just shouldn't feel this way. And I don't want that. I don't want that for me. I deserve better. And that's just when something just like clicked and I was just like, I've had enough. I've had enough of not feeling seen or heard or like I'm invisible or like that an afterthought or, you know, a burden or, you know, all of those things. Like, I was like, I've had enough. I'm done.
Yeah, no, and the thing is with BLM, it was everywhere. It wasn't like you can even ignore it because it was everywhere. Like, it wasn't just a small news piece. There were marches. There were all sort like, there's just no excuse for it. And like you said, all it was you just wanted a simple, are you okay? The only thing I can say is I think, and this isn't right, this is not right, and it's not excusing them because it's not, like, there's no excuse. I think they could potentially have been like, what do I say? But then equally, you've got to learn, you've got to push yourself. You need to think, like, this wasn't just a black matter anymore. The whole point of the whole movement was this is everybody's, everybody needs to stand up and check in and check whether you're okay and learn.
And I think, and it had a lot, like, and that's what added to, the, like, not making me not feel seen or heard. Because, you know, there's no denying, like, you know, I'm the black friend in a white friendship group. Like, you know, I'm the only one. So, like, you would think, like, you know, it's not taboo. It's not some, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's what I am. It's who I am. Like, you know, it's not a bad word to say. So I was just kind of really hurt and shocked that, you know, you have a black friend and you haven't checked in. You know, that just rang alarm bells to me. That just kind of made, it just made me feel shit. And I was just like, no. I'm
particularly when you got the outpouring that you did online, I reckon it's probably that probably made you think about it even more, because you have probably had people that you've probably never ever spoken to, or even your followers reach out and say, are you okay right now? I'm thinking of you, or I stand with you, or whatever it is. Like, just a simple comment just to check in on you then also makes you take a step back and think, well, if a stranger that I've never met can send me a message online, and the people I've known for X number of years can't, there's an imbalance here. So
there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. And that's exactly how I thought. And I think I had to really work through that. And I'm coming out of the other side slowly. You know, as things ease, it's really hard not to kind of romanticize everything and miss kind of like the old times. But that's exactly what they are. They're old times. And, you know, don't just not be afraid to be on my own for a bit and be the outsider and find myself and what I like and what I want from a friendship. And even for me, of how to be a good friend too. I'm not saying that, you know, I was perfect in the friendship, you know, at all. And learning how I can be a better friend. To people in the future. It's just, it's a lot of pros and cons, but I think the takeaway for me is that it's okay to grow apart, and you're not alone. And I just think, obviously, you know, they say this, your circle, as you get older, it just gets smaller. And you know, like you said, you're not in these groups anymore. It gets, you know, one, three and four, and it just gets lower and lower. And that's just how it is when you get older, because your life changes so much, and you know, you grow and you change. And in this 6 months alone, like, I feel like I've completely changed.
And
that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
You've had a spiritual awakening.
I've completely changed. Yeah, it's like an awakening. Like, I feel like I've completely changed. Like, I'm a lot more confident. I'm a lot more, like, you know, I won't take any shit. If I don't feel respected or loved, and, you know, I'm not going to hang around and force any relationship or friendship when it's like that. And just kind of knowing that it's okay to go it alone or find new people. And it's normal.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think having friends for different things is also a very good,
yeah,
like we touched on, but like,
yeah,
you'll have that friend that you know you can go out and party with till 3 o'clock in the morning, and you'll have that, yeah, friend that is like great for advice, and you have that,
yeah,
friend,
absolutely, that,
like,
yeah,
you'll have different friends for different,
yeah, different
reasons.
Friends for different things. I've said that for quite a while, yeah, and yeah, I think that's what it's got to. Yeah, you have those friends that you were saying that you just, you know, when you just want to laugh and you just want to forget your troubles, you, yeah, know, you know, you're going to call that person. But when you really need to, you know, talk, if you're going through something, you have that other person. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite nice.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really nice. And
yeah,
having a small circle works. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they say. Keep your circle small.
There we go. Thank you so much for listening.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and over at Pear Shape Podcast on Instagram.